Hi, my name is Jeff Redding. I'm a preaching elder here at Walton Community Church in Monroe, Georgia. Before we begin the sermon, our church would like to invite you to join us as we gather every Sunday morning for worship at 10 a.m. You can learn more about our church on our website at waltoncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening.
All right, everyone, I think you know where we're going to be. Go ahead and turn to Leviticus. We're going to be in chapter 23. My aim is to be done with Leviticus before I turn 40. And luckily, that's not too far from now. So we're going to get through it. I have really had fun with this particular chapter. And this is a chapter that could easily be like four sermons. So just know there's a lot of different ways we could go in this. And I'm not going to bombard you. We're not going to slow down and do this with four sermons. We're only going to do it in one. If you ever wanted to study one chapter of Leviticus, I would say the Day of Atonement, 16 should be the one. But then also, chapter 23 is really an easy chapter. It's very accessible. It deals with holidays and the calendar. Now, I am not someone that knows how to manage a calendar to save my life. And as I've been going through this chapter, I've thought a lot about Pastor Greg, because he's very efficient and scheduled. And brother, you just bring a gift that this man does not have. And then we also have the Festival of Trumpets. So I thought about you again during that. It's really, really a cool festival we'll get to. But hopefully you're there now. And I just want to say that these annual festivals recorded in Leviticus 23 can be divided into two main sections. So verses 5 through 22 deal with spring. These are at the beginning. And then autumn, we're going to find in verses 23 through 43. So when you think about our calendar, there are certain times in the year where we are very, very busy. And the same is true of Israel. A lot of these holidays kind of topple on top of each other. They just, what's the word I want you to kind of leapfrog on one another. But we can think about the busy times of the year for us. In the Lawson home, as soon as Thanksgiving comes, or the week before Thanksgiving, we're just really, really busy. We're finding out where we're eating our food, how many Thanksgivings we're going to. Raise your hand if you go more than three Thanksgivings. Oh, lightweights. Okay. Well, I've done at least three Thanksgivings, I think, last year. Then you have Christmas, you have Christmas Eve, you have the church stuff that you do. We have birthdays on top of that. Zebulun's is December 28th, Zion's is the 31st, I'm January 12th. We have some nieces, a father-in-law, two nieces in January. This is a really busy, busy time of the year. Thankfully, the law brings some order for Israel as they go forward in following the instructions that the Lord places for them. Now, if you wanted to get really nerdy in the festivals, if that's you, well, you're in luck. If Leviticus doesn't meet all your appetite here, Numbers 26 and 29 speak more about these appointed feasts. Likewise, Exodus 23, Exodus 34, Deuteronomy 16, 1 through 17, these address these different feasts and festivals. What we find in chapter 23 is really the introduction for the layman. This would be like the average dad. Someone that just, give me the particulars, what day is it again, for how long is it? That's what we find here. So let's go ahead and open up to the introduction, verse 1 through 2. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord, that you shall proclaim as holy convocations. They are my appointed feasts." So an introduction, the regular formula that we see. Yahweh uses his spokesman, Moses, declare to the people, speak to them, and he's going to be sharing with them religious holidays, sacred assemblies, how they are to set themselves apart. They are going to be at times restricted from labor, though not throughout the whole holiday. And they are to offer worship to God. And they are to remind themselves that time does not belong to them. as well as resources and the land. But for our day and age, I really want you to think about this. Time is the Lord's. How many of you are in a hurry to do the Lord's work? I don't mean like, oh God, use me and send me and I want to be amazing for you, just chomping at the bit. No, like God, you've placed me on this earth, you've called me to do this for you, and I need to go. I was in a huge rush. And then you read the Bible and the God commissions a patriarch, a king, a prophet, a faithful servant to something, and a lot of times they wait. A lot of times they wait. Like, remember when Lazarus dies because Jesus delays things? So when you are in a rush and when you have things you have to accomplish unto God, or when there's a roadmap that you have set and it's just not going the way it's supposed to go, take rest. The Lord accomplishes what he desires to accomplish. His timing is perfect. Our anxiety can be sometimes off the wall and our faith weak, but beloved, rest yourself. The Lord has everything in control, and humble yourself. He will take your time. Personal story. I mean, I remember when I was in Bible college, it took me an extra year to complete it. Just couldn't go hog wild at it. Then I entered to seminary, and you know, they say you can do it in 3.5 years, which is impossible. And I think I crammed it in 5, panting at the finish line. Don't be in a rush. Give what God asks of you. So we find in the next verse, chapter 3, mention of a Sabbath. And this is going to be in the spring. The 6 days shall work be done. But on the 7th day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. So this is a Sabbath of Sabbaths. First and foremost, on the calendar, I want you to put aside one day every week. This is going to be a constant repeat. This is going to be a constant responsibility that you rest. And rest, for some of you, can be a very overwhelming exercise. You don't rest well. I can't identify with you. I rest very well. I rest way too much. But he takes their calendar and he says, weekly, this is going to be your pattern. You focus on not self. You don't focus on labor. You don't focus on getting ahead. You focus on me. Now remember, Israel has been in bondage for 430 years. This is quite the reset. Some of those are rejoicing, but I imagine for many in their DNA, they are used to producing or doing. But they are to be calm and they are to reflect on God and to observe him. They are to lay before his feet their time. What is God going to do in the nothingness? He does a lot. He does a lot in the nothingness. You might have a testimony to that when you did not have your health, when you were confined to maybe care for another individual, when you were waiting for a phone call that never came. But God does a lot in that rest. So how are you resting right now? Feed yourself as you rest also. Are you allowing yourself to do so? Or are you staring at the clock, waiting till you can be productive again? Now, all of these different festivals or all these days find their fulfillment in Christ. Christ is our ultimate rest. Christ is the ultimate Sabbath. He is the one in which we can find peace and wholeness and comfort and receive his strength. Now we go to the Passover or unleavened bread. This is in verse 4 through 8. And in this one, they actually are to travel. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, the holy convocations which you shall proclaim at the time appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread. So you see two kind of overlap here. To the Lord. For the 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have holy convocation. You should not do any ordinary work. So stop there. So during some of this holiday, you can go back to the responsibilities of the day. You can do the common things, but there are days in which everything is put on hold. So I want to kind of correct that. You might think they just do nothing for weeks or a whole week. They just do nothing. And that does create some chaos. But on specific days, no labor. You have to prepare yourself. You have to get things ready. This isn't just a casual, well, let's see what happens. Have you ever gone camping? I mean, that first day is chaos. If you're lucky, maybe the second day you get rest. So you have to think ahead of things. I have now 6 kids. I have not done camping with that yet. But I can tell you how hard it is for 4. And I'm the husband, not the wife. It requires a lot of forethought, a lot of planning, a lot of preparation. But this is to lead up not to just campfires and s'mores and hunting for bugs. This preparation leads to the worship of God, which all of Leviticus has shown us thus far requires careful steps and preparation, internally as well as externally. Verse 8, But you shall present a food offering to the Lord for the 7 days. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. So the Passover feast was to be observed on the 4th day of the first month, the 14th day. And then the next day, on the 15th day, is the feast of unleavened bread. And that lasted about 7 days. So the first day of the feast of unleavened bread is holy, and ordinary work is forbidden. And on the 7th day, it is also designated as holy. Now on this holiday, they would relive and rehearse the events of the Exodus, in Exodus 20. This is when God passed over Israel because the blood that they placed on the post of the door. And they were to remind themselves of this. And they would travel during this time. Not all feasts require this travel, but Deuteronomy 16:16 says, 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, at the Feast of Booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. So they're to prepare themselves and be ready for this. I want you to think about going camping with friends. And in that whole activity, it's surrounded with reminding yourselves how God personally delivered you. I mean, we have a lot of fun on our Tenebrae service. Fun might not be the right word, but we reflect on when Christ was crucified. And that's one of the most powerful services we have. We're at the climax, the tenebrae, is that what we call it? It roars with a loud drumming sound, and it reminds us of this, the tomb being closed by that stone. And we get very moved and emotional, and rightly so, during Christmas as we think about God coming in the form as a babe. But think about going camping with friends and reflecting how God delivered you, or delivered your parents, or your grandparents, or generations before you. I let my mind play with that, thinking about what kids would steal what tent pegs, and how amazing Marcus's tent would be, and how embarrassed I would be of my tent if I were to do this in the wilderness. a beautiful community coming together, encouraging one another. This is what God has done. This is what God has intentionally designed, beloved. So when you think about your faith, don't think about it just in isolation. God is designing that he is worshiped individually as well as corporately. So don't think that you're being holy or spiritual when you bypass the assembly of the saints. They might slow you down. They might irritate you. They might not understand you. They might have a different ology or ism than you hold. But the Lord has designed that his children come together and they remind each other of what they have done. At work, with other chaplains that I visit with the hospital and have lunch with, they're not too fond of our four-year-old and up policy in the sanctuary, which I could care less about. But they kind of critique that. Can the kids really hear or absorb anything or everything that's said behind the pulpit? And some of them know I'm going through Leviticus. And my question is, can all the adults? No! And I sit in the chair too, guys. I'm not here every Sunday. Do I absorb everything? Do I understand everything? Sometimes Jeff or Greg or George or Nick or Harlan, someone comes behind here, they preach something, they teach something, and I think, man, I got to revisit that again. But it is good when all ages come together, when we are an example to one another. I want my kids to have an idea in their mind what a 65-year-old man does and thinks. I want them to think that 24-year-olds and 30-year-olds and 50-year-olds love church, love Jesus, sing songs, read his word. And I want to see that kids around their age do the same thing. These holidays are a beautiful way in which God encourages his children to worship him in obedience and in celebration. We come to the Feast of First Fruits, verse 9 through 14. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'When you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf for the first fruits of your harvest.'" That's like a big handful of like barley, okay? You're gonna need that sheaf imagery. So we bring it to the priest, verse 11, "And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb a year old without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. And the grain offering with it shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, a food offering to the Lord with a pleasing aroma. And the drink offering with it shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor grain, parched or fresh, until this same day, until you have brought the offering to your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your delight." So we find this second day of unleavened bread would be celebrating the first fruits. This emphasizes that the Lord has provided for us. In spring, they come forward and they say, "He has been faithful unto us." Many of the ancient people would sacrifice their children, would do wicked acts that aren't worth mentioning here, in order to get the harvest. Here we find at the very beginning, they bring what has grown to the Lord and they wave it in celebration. "God, this is what you have done. This is how you have provided for me." How beautiful of an assembly is that, when everyone gathers to say, "Great is your faithfulness," and they wait to eat it until after they offer their worship to him. So this holiday took place after the Sabbath of unleavened bread and marked the beginning of harvest. We find that this first fruit is also found in Christ, as he is the one that is resurrected from the dead. And he is the first fruits of our salvation. It is finished. He has provided. He is beginning a work in you, and he will be faithful to complete it. We have the Feast of Weeks and Pentecost, which is 15 through 22. You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling place 2 loaves of bread and a wave made of 2 tenths of ephah. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven. This is different. This is with leaven, not unleavened here. As first fruits to the Lord. And you shall present with the bread 7 lambs, a year old without blemish, and 1 bull from the herd, and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings. A food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And you shall offer 1 male goat for a skin offering and 2 male lambs a year old as a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread at the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. And they shall be holy to the Lord for the priests. And you shall make a proclamation on the same day. You shall hold a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a statute forever in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you should not reap your fields right up to its edge, nor shall you gather the gleaning after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. So this Feast of Weeks, it's also called Pentecost in the New Testament, is a 50-day countdown from the Feast of First Fruits. This is kind of a reset. They have eaten off the land. They have had 49 days from a Sabbath plus 1 to make 50. And now they yet again make worship unto the Lord. And during this period of time, they offer 7 lambs, 1 bull, 2 rams, a goat, and other offerings to the Lord. Now several of these days are declared holy where they are not to work. And it provides for them a chance to say, God has been good to us. He has brought us a harvest, and we say thank you. Remember some of the offerings that we looked in the past in the first 5 chapters. See, some of them are just basically an offering to be at table with the Lord. As if you were to sit down with a friend and welcome them. Now, not as casual, but it had that in its fabric where you just go before your God and say, I love you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to give back what you have given to me. I think I might be missing a page from my notes. How terrifying would that be? I think I might have given that to Zebulun. Oh well, we shall survive. I am not going to rush in, though. Give me one moment. I'm so sorry, beloved. Tim, yes, I will take that. That's not it. That's okay. So next we have the Day of Atonement in verse 26. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, on exactly the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord. You shall not do any work on this same day, for it is the Day of Atonement to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. If there is any person who will not humble himself on this day, he shall be cut off from his people. As for any person who does any work on this same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no work at all. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations, in all your dwelling places. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest to you, and you shall humble your souls on the ninth of the month at evening. From evening until evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. So we've talked about this Day of Atonement, and this is a very serious day, and mentioned within this section is that if you break this rest, you will be cut off, and I will pursue you. So what's the seriousness? Why is it so heavy? On this day, the priest takes two goats. This is the only time in the year the priest enters the Holy of Holies so that the sins of the people might be cleansed from God's dwelling. As he is in this tent ministering among his people and protecting them and loving on them, he is becoming contaminated by two things. One, their humanity. Just being human, you get sick. You're not always healthy. You touch things that are not pleasant. And also their sin. So that goat is sacrificed. And then the second goat is sprinkled with blood from the other and sent out of the camp. And this communicates, one, your sins are forgiven you. And two, they are forgotten. Beloved, Jesus is the Passover lamb, and he is the great atonement. Through him, our sins are forgiven. Through him, what we have done is not before our God in fresh memory, but is settled. Verse 33. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, on the 15th of the seventh month of the Feast of Booths, for 7 days to the Lord, on the first day it is a holy convocation, you shall do no laborious work of any kind. For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation and present an offering by fire to the Lord. It is an assembly. You shall do no laborious work. These are the appointed times the Lord which you shall proclaim as holy convocations to present offerings by fire to the Lord. Burnt offerings, grain offerings, sacrifices, and drink offerings. Each day's matter on its own day. Besides those of the Sabbaths of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and besides all the votive and free will offerings which you give to the Lord. Stop here. So on the Day of Booths, this again is a holiday in which they would travel. They would go to the tabernacle, or they would go later to the temple in Jerusalem, and they would pitch tents, reminding themselves of their wanderings in the wilderness. This is more kooky than putting a live tree in your house and decorating it with lights. This is taking the family and sojourning for a week in a tent to remind them of God's faithfulness and their wandering. What a beautiful practice. What a great memory to make for the generations represented there. Christ fulfills the Feast of Booths. Remember when he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was being tempted by the devil himself? How he sought the Lord in prayer and fasting and waited on him in isolation with little protection? And remember how the Lord came and dwelled, he tabernacled with us, John 1 tells us. Emmanuel, God with us. For those that want to go back to these feasts and back to these festivals, let me encourage you to press forward to Christ, not to lean on Israel's ritualism, but far better to press to Christ. Verse 39, on exactly the 15th day of the seventh month, then ye shall have gathered in the crops of the Lord. Ye shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days, with a rest on the final day, and a rest on the eighth day. Now on the first day ye shall take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Ye shall thus celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. Ye shall celebrate in the seventh month. Ye shall live in booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths, so that your generation may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out from the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses declared to the sons of Israel the appointed times of the Lord. I want to end on some pastoral reflections as I come to this book. And that is the importance of the fellowship of the saints. So you might approach worship with the understanding that I need to be filled. I hope you come with that expectation when you come to church that you will encounter God through his word, that you will be blessed as saints serve one another, and that you would be encouraged. But we live in a day and age that is filled with consumerism and individualism. That kind of faith is not what God is orchestrating here. If you come to church simply to be satisfied and spectate, beloved, you're not going to be satisfied. And I'm not even saying that of Walton Community Church. If you go to the church with all the bells and all the whistles that have multiple staff members and programs and events, and if you go simply to be satisfied as a spectator, you will be left in want. These feasts and festivals encourage us to bring something unto the Lord. It might be your time. It might be your finances. I don't know what it is. Don't guard it from those that need it. And let me encourage you, be used by God. And I want to commit you to being committed to the church. Not to be rogue. And I'm not saying join Walton Community Church here today. The last thing I want to do is pull someone's ear to become a member of this church. We don't want that at Walton Community Church. We don't want someone who feels forced here in a headlock to join. That's pleasant for nobody. And the elders are pretty transparent with that. Like, that's not fun for us. We don't want to bully you here. But I want to encourage you to be serious about the assembly, because there are places in which you cannot be faithful to God unless you are loving and living life with his people. Whatever reasons you might have, some of them can be you're just terrified of people knowing your business. Some of it mean you might be raw from being hurt from another church. I understand that. But don't rob yourself from obedience, and don't rob others from your obedience. I am at a church that loves the snot out of me. I'm in Leviticus chapter 23, okay? I can't do that anywhere else. And we have it designed where I do this enough to where I'm not kicked out. I'm not here every Sunday if you're visiting, okay? You'll have a new message outside of Leviticus next week, okay? But you guys allow me to explore this and learn this and preach this. And when I preach something, I feel like I finally learned it, at least to a higher level. You guys bless me and you teach me and you cause me to grow. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Feed your soul as you spend yourself on others. Let's bow in prayer. true and living God, I thank you for these feasts and that they point us to the ultimate peace and fulfillment, our Savior Christ Jesus. I pray that as we think about our time, our calendar, and the communion of saints, that we would be encouraged by this. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be doing a work in us, that we would seek to find delight in communion with one another, and that we come to worship you, we prepare our hearts, and we are ready to be used in whatever way you would ask of us. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.